All this time Le Chiffre had said nothing. Directly the boot was shut, the third man, whom Bond at once recognised, climbed in beside him and Le Chiffre reversed furiously back onto the main road. Then he banged the gear lever through the gate and was soon doing 70 on down the coast. By now it was dawn, about 5 o'clock, Bond guessed, and he reflected that a mile or two on was the turning to Le Chiffre's villa. He had not thought that they would take Vesper there. Now that he realised that Vesper had only been a sprat to catch a mackerel, the whole picture became clear. It was an extremely unpleasant picture. For the first time since his capture, fear came to Bond and crawled up his spine. 10 minutes later, the Citroën lurched to the left, ran on 100 yards up a small side road partly overgrown with grass, and then between a pair of dilapidated stucco pillars into an unkempt forecourt surrounded by a high wall. They drew up in front of a peeling white door. Above a rusty bell push in the door frame, small zinc letters on a wooden base spelled out Les Noctambules, and underneath Sonne, SVP. From what Bond could see of the cement frontage, the villa was typical of the French seaside style. He could imagine the dead blue bottles being hastily swept out for the summer let, and the stale rooms briefly aired by a cleaning woman sent by the estate agent in Royale. Every 5 years, one coat of whitewash would be slapped over the rooms and the outside woodwork, and for a few weeks the villa would present a smiling front to the world. Then the winter rains would get to work, and the imprisoned flies, and quickly the villa would take on again its abandoned look. But, Bond reflected, it would admirably serve Le Chiffre's purpose this morning, if he was right in assuming what that was to be. They had passed no other house since his capture, and from his reconnaissance of the day before he knew there was only an occasional farm for several miles to the south. As he was urged out of the car with a sharp crack in the ribs from the thin man's elbow, he knew that Le Chiffre could have them both to himself, undisturbed, for several hours. Again his skin crawled. Le Chiffre opened the door with a key and disappeared inside. Vesper, looking incredibly indecent in the early light of day, was pushed in after him with a torrent of lewd French from the man whom Bond knew to himself as the Corsican. Bond followed without giving the thin man a chance to urge him. The key of the front door turned in the lock.